Morning all, it is Thursday, June 1. The Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, Radio Tab. A very good morning if you're a Queensland fan, not so. If you're a New South Welshman or Welshwoman, Loz 26 to 18. I feel like we're just going over what we've done a million times before this morning already as we've discussed the game off air. New South Wales opportunities, Queensland hung in there. And they were rewarded in the end, 26 to 18. Morning to you, mate.
Yeah,
How are you?
Morning, everybody. Yeah, I enjoyed that game last night. Didn't enjoy the end result. I thought New South Wales were in control with a couple of minutes to go or 10 minutes to go. And in particular, when Flegler got sin bin, they were ahead 18-16. Then conceded two tries when Flegler was in the bin. We started slow. We started very slow, ill-disciplined, off the back of a couple of penalties. Queensland looked very good with the football. And then we were able to regain momentum. In the last 25 minutes of the first half, we were dominant. And unfortunately, though, we couldn't get the points on the board that we needed. Queensland scrambled. They saved a lot of tries in that opening half. Their attitude and desire and hunger for the contest was there. New South Wales had their moments, but we just looked frantic with the ball early. We looked clunky with the ball. Our attack never really got going. So well done to Queensland. They deserve their victory.
Pup, very good morning to you, mate. The post-mortem on the text line started from New South Wales fans very quickly after full-time. The coach they want gone already.
Of course.
The captain even is in the firing line. James Tedesco.
It's our hardest crier, I reckon.
As a part of our texts already that are here this morning. I'll get to a lot of them. When we can, but how are you, mate?
Yeah, morning, boys. Morning. Never nice when you lose. Does feel a little bit Groundhog Day. I just think the fact that, you know, throughout that entire game, you sort of felt like Queensland could score at any time, yet I felt like didn't have that same feeling. I was like, how are we going to get points? How are we going to score? We kept trying, but we couldn't get over the line. So, pay credit to Queensland. I thought, and all their players said it after the game, the way they just hung in. It didn't look great. They had blokes out of position. They had a player sent off. They're down to their last man on the bench, but they just found a way to hang in. So they deserve a lot of credit. And as hard as it is for us to give them that at times, I think this is one of those opportunities you need to. And you do. I think you look at individual players and, you know, want people sacked after one game. Give me a break. Like, we had this conversation yesterday about the coaches. It's always going to be the case. New South Wales lose, they're going to criticise selection or, you know, Brad Fittler. Last night had nothing to do with coaching. And again, take nothing away from Billy Slater. But that's the players won the game. The coach didn't make a difference. The coach didn't win. The coach didn't lose. The players on the field from Queensland won that game of footy. So credit to Billy Slater for what he's done in the preparation to get them into that mental state where they just found a way to hang on and get the points. But and having a crack at Tedesco, I thought he was our hardest trier. Yeah, he slipped over a few times. Yeah, there was occasions he probably could have passed and didn't pass. But, mate, he tried everything. Absolutely everything. So I think people are being extremely hard on him if they're calling for his jersey.
48,613 at Adelaide Oval last night. It looked good. It definitely a different feel as far as Origin atmosphere is concerned. Like, you have to think back to Game 3 last year and how the crowd's into absolutely every play at times. You know, it's a bit quiet, but still. It was a good occasion there last night. I know Queensland won't be complaining, but Loz, just the amount of ball, you alluded to it, that New South Wales had in the first half. And Andrew Johns didn't miss them on the Channel 9 coverage after. He said the attack was terrible and just said New South Wales were really poor.
I think I've said on this program a number of times, you don't get the same time and space in Origin that you do at Clubland. And you don't get a lot of opportunities unless they're set pieces from penalties or restarts inside the opposition 30-metre zone. So a lot of your football comes off the back of just individual efforts and individual brilliance. Someone making a line break, pushing through defenders, an inside ball where a defender has missed the space, tying up the space on the inside. It's not really a set piece that you use in Clubland where it looks good, where it's out the back and then another out the back play, a sweeping backline movement. You don't get a lot of time to do that in Origin. It's about effort. It's about competing and about someone's individual brilliance just breaking the game open. And that's what Queensland were able to do. Whereas we were focused on trying to play at times this brand of football, which
it's Penrith.
Nice.
It's Penrith.
It looks nice, but in reality, it got shut down.
Yeah.
Nice and easy.
Yeah.
And they were putting us under pressure. They were rushing from the edges, as we spoke about what they did to us last year. Yeah. You know, Cleary's trying to play out the back, Isaiah Yeo trying to play the back. Yeah. They just shut down their time and space. Mm. So the style that we had just wasn't working.
Mm.
We couldn't break them open. So I think they're going to look at maybe the way that they attack or attack a little bit better than what they did because they just looked disjointed. Queensland are rushing from the edge, so you've got to look to maybe kicking behind. You've got to look at maybe turning someone back under and getting the back rower, stopping their defence, and then going down short sides again. There's little tinkerings that they can do, but a bit like Pup said, it was sort of they knew what was coming.
Yeah,
they knew how to shut it down, and they just did it so well, Queensland.
The other thing as well, I feel like we're going to need absolutely every single part of our 17 players, especially in Queensland, to beat Queensland. And unfortunately, I know it's hard on Nicho Hynes, but he wasn't going to get on. And it took a head knock from Tommy T for him to get on for, you know, the last 10 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever he was on for. So if we thought we're going into that game and going to beat Queensland with 16 players, I think we made an error there. And sometimes, I don't know, and again, I can't talk a rugby league selection, but in cricket selection as well, sometimes you've got to look past what's happening in state cricket. Sometimes you've got to look past who's got the best batting average or who's the leading run scorer. In selection, it's more than that sometimes. And I don't know, did they make the right selection in going Nicho Hynes over Burton, for example? I don't know that because Nicho didn't get a long enough crack and he was playing out of position as well in his time on the field, but that's part of selection. That's the part where the coach does play a big part. You know, Billy Slater takes the risk and he picks Reece Walsh. And he backs his judgment the whole week leading up. And it's a Billy's credit there. He should be credited for that. Great coaching, gutsy decision. Take accountability. If it doesn't work, it worked. I think that's where the coach does play a big part in rugby league. And I don't know. I just feel like Nicho Hynes, if there wasn't a head knock to Tommy T, I don't think he gets on the field. And I don't think we can beat Queensland with 16 players. I don't think we're that good.
Yeah, well, interesting too with that head knock that Turbo copped. Flegler was sent to the sin bin. Like, I know
that. Does that just look like an accident?
That wasn't a sin bin. No
not
way.
Not in an Origin game. Not even in a club game,
no
to be fair.
Way. No way.
Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. So there they are now. What? 10 to go.
18-16.
They're 18-16 down. They've got a bloke in the sin bin who shouldn't be, let's face it. And they score the last two tries and win the match.
Well, mate, they've got Fifita playing left centre. They've got Ben Hunt right centre on the wing. They had players out of position. They lost Tom Gilbert with a shoulder injury, dislocated shoulder.
Yeah,
and
early.
Somehow they managed to score two tries. So the back end of our game was ordinary. To close it out when you're in front. Like, you shouldn't be getting two tries put on you at that desperate stage of the game. Mm. You're clinging to a lead, 10 minutes to go, you're in front, you've got to find a way to hang on in that scenario.
And months to come good at the right
time.
He was
quiet last
time. I thought he was very quiet, but he come good at the right time.
I was concerned because I'm thinking he can't be quiet all the time.
Yeah.
He just can't be quiet. This is one of the... He's quietest ever Origin games.
Yeah.
And then he put Temeso away and he's backed up on the inside of Collins taking that bomb where he outlooped
Tedesco
and was there on the spot to score. So he went looking for the football. And again, you talk about a try, Origin try. That's not through skill.
No.
That's just through effort.
Yeah.
He just pushed himself up there to compete with the ball, Collins, and Munster was pushing hard in support.
So the market then for game two, Queensland $1.73, New South Wales $2.10. They've got to do it the hard way, the Blues, the Maroons staring down the barrel of another series victory. 2.5 is the line. That market with Tab is up. Queensland, of course, the Miners heading back to their home, Suncorp. We've got to go and win at Suncorp to keep the series
alive.
How
good is this Reece Walsh, Loz? Because that's his first Origin game. He looked unbelievable.
And he got targeted, too.
He got belted, and he wanted it. He loved it.
Yeah, no, he's a very good player. And I think I said before, he's one of these blokes that an error is not going to worry.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
He doesn't
care. Not scared of making a mistake.
Whereas some blokes, if they make an error, it affects their performance for another 5-10 minutes. And the next thing you know, the game's gone.
Mm.
They've lost the attachment to the contest. Whereas Reece Walsh, he'll get himself back involved.
Mm.
And if he sees the same opportunity, even though he's made a blue 2 minutes
care.
Before, doesn't care, mate.
The other one that I reckon played, again, above what the expectation of Val Holmes, who had been struggling in clubland, he just turned it on.
They always seem to.
Mate, he was good as well. Some tough runs.
Cotter was good. Carrigan was good.
Yeah, Cotter was unbelievable.
David Fifita.
Oh.
He was outstanding for Queensland. He was very, very good. You know, there's been some criticism of his performances for the Titans. And I was sitting back wondering how he'd go at Origin, starting. But I think he handled himself really well, and what a damaging back rower he is.
Player of the match, and you talk about effort, Reuben Cotter in the end.
I'm sure
he could have picked a few of them. They probably didn't have an absolute standout. Queensland just had those heart and soul effort players, like you mentioned, the Carrigans, Cotters. Cotter in the end was player of the match.
Well, just his effort plays are so good.
Mm.
You know, just effort on effort on effort. He outworked his opponent. He just did the simple things well, and he just kept coming. Mm. And that turning of the game was when, I can't remember which New South, Penguy Jr. went offload, and he knocked the ball down and then scrambled his way to get onto the football.
Yeah.
That was a momentum killer for New South Wales, and then Queensland went bang, and then they sparked up.
Cherry Evans was good as well. He cops a lot of criticism. I thought he was brilliant last night. That 40-20 was a cracker.
Oh, yeah.
He made one, dropped one ball, made one error, but I thought he was,
well, they started
I thought
the second
he was
half
very,
slow,
very good.
They made error. They made error off the back of the 40-20.
Yeah.
They made an error. But Murray Taulagi, early in the contest, saved a couple of tries early in the game.
Mm.
Their scramble defence on their line. And again, we continually talk about Origin just being about efforts.
So
effort.
How do you, like, you talk about the brand of footy or the brand, the style of attack that they're playing. Can you change that? With the 7, the 6, the 13, all being from the same club, play that brand of footy the entire season, year after year, and have had success. What does Freddie do now? Like, can you just make that change with those same three players in those positions, Loz?
Yeah, not so much change, but it's all about building momentum first. Like, if you haven't got the momentum, there's no point trying to go wide.
Yeah, you haven't got the time.
You haven't got the time. If they've slowed down that previous ruck, and you're setting your way of going to a back row who's going to play out the back to clear, he's going to play short or play out the back himself. The edge defence of Queensland was just rushing and stopping that. So you got to work the momentum. Once you get that momentum, you can put
then
it on.
You can do it, yeah.
But if they're doing the outside men rushing up and trying to shut New South Wales down, you're either looking to kick him behind or you're looking to turn someone under. So instead of making contact, the outside men making the contact, you're putting pressure back on the inside guys to test their honesty in defence, whether they've moved across and closed the space on the inside. And then if the back rower or a forward digs into that line, those outside backs who have swept up really hard, they've got to get back to the line and then come up again.
Yeah, okay.
So then you might have the opportunity to go.
Fatigue.
And just keep working them. Getting them to come up, not make contact, getting them to go back. Getting them to come up, make contact, getting them to go back. And eventually what they tend to do then is think, oh, well, they only have to do it twice or three times. They think, oh, well, they're not coming now.
Yeah.
Because we've turned them back, we've turned them back, we've turned them back. Then you might get the opportunity where they don't move up as hard and you have that time and space to play out the back. And you can strip them for numbers down an edge.
Mm.
So it's just a matter of reading the game and reading momentum. But just having those other options up your sleeve, if you've got no space out wide, turn someone under or kick him behind. Just do something a little bit different rather than going with those plays, getting it shut down, being dominated near a sideline, and then your kicking game's under so much pressure. Yeah.
Front page of the Daily Telegraph, Sydney's paper in New South Wales. Queensland grit gives us the blues. The Courier-Mail in Queensland and Brisbane, Cobbo that blues. Selwyn stars in epic victory, Maroon spirit shines again. Back page of the telly, hammer blow. Back page of the Courier-Mail, nailed it. Hammer sparks 12-man Maroons to another miracle win. And in the City Morning Herald, Dirty Dozen, brave Maroons survive Navy bombardment inside the City Morning Herald. So that paints the picture. And your say, just some of it, and there's a lot of it. Keep it coming. 0419 767 272 is the text line. Speed kills. Queensland have it with Walsh, Cobbo and Hemmer. We have only Addo Carr, and even he didn't get the ball. Forgetting the concussion, if Turbo was a racehorse, he'd be put out for a long spill. Something is gone with him. Nico isn't a centre, says Jason at Windsor. They had no aggression whatsoever from front rowers. Very disappointed. And Tommy Gilbert is a wild man, crazy good player. We don't have those guys. No name to that one. A champion team will always be the team of champions. New South Wales don't get it, especially whilst Freddie is in charge, says the Mudgy Bronco. What more have we got here? Hi, boys. Great game. We need to change players for the Blues. Teddy runs more sideways than forward. Was not in form at all. Edwards should have been picked. Turbo's been rubbish all year, par one game. Wouldn't pick him for game two on that. Luai's been average all year. Hines should have been there. He was wasted on the bench. Appy was good. Changes needed. Teddy, Turbo and Luai gone. Edwards fullback. Burton the 17th man. Cheers, boys. Phil.
Sack the whole team.
Yeah, we've got... obviously, it's updating pretty regularly on me here, but... Hambone there in Gladstone. Morning, boys. A beautiful day up here in Queensland. Another spirit of performance by the boys.
I love that.
Heart and effort got us home. A few dubious calls didn't go our way. Still got it done. Good luck evening up the series at the Cauldron. Good on your Hambone there at Gladstone. Sorry, boys. Can't listen today. Just heartbroken again. Just can't listen to Queensland winning, says Carmel from Gyra. Morning, men. How great is waking up this morning in the Sunshine State, the winning state. Commiserations to Queensland's number one hater, Jared Middleton. Enjoy your losing flight back. Brad from Broadbeach. Good on you, Brad.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I love it. How good's Origin? Nothing moves the needle like Origin.
Oh, it's just the
best. Post-mortem's going to go on for days here. It's certainly in New South Wales, but... the fullback battle was interesting, wasn't it? Walsh and Tedesco lost. And you mentioned Tedesco's effort, but you only had to look at sort of all the fans, not only your texts. I saw a bit of social media last night. There are a lot of question marks over. Well, I don't want to say if he's past his best, but maybe is he the best option? The captain, is he the best option now at the moment for New South Wales, considering who obviously else there is to pick from? And we're talking about the Clive Churchill medalist in someone like Dylan
Edwards.
Yeah,
well, I think, like, we're always looking for scapegoats and we're always looking to sack players after performances. But I would think that James Tedesco has done enough to earn himself another shot. He's the captain. He's been their best player. I think he's done enough to go up there in game two to get another opportunity to lead New South Wales. Yes, there'll be some pressure on him leading into that game, and it might be time for a changing of the guard after this series. But as it stands at the moment, James Tedesco would be my fullback. I think Dylan Edwards is playing great, but you know what? I'm probably not even going to pick Dylan Edwards. If I'm making the change...
What are people talking about?
If I'm making
Dylan
the change...
Dylan Edwards to Tedesco loss.
Yeah, but if I'm making the change, I'm going Latrell.
Of course! Dylan Edwards is playing unbelievable club football. Have we not just seen club football and state of origin is different? It's like Shield cricket. You can average 70 in Shield cricket. International cricket is different.
Because Crichton played well. Steve Crichton played well.
Don't worry, there's more superstars under the gun. Here's another text. Nathan Cleary's a very good player, but not the superstar all the commentators make him out to be. Service is often slow. He doesn't run often enough. At Origin level,
our
that
best option.
Massive pressure on his outside backs. DCE dominated him again, and it won't happen, but Hines should be halfback, says out on his feet.
Well, I agree with DCE. I think he played really well last night.
Yeah.
And if you're rating halfback against halfback, I would say DCE got the points. But in terms of, is he our best halfback? Most definitely.
Definitely.
By far.
Definitely.
By far and away, he's our best halfback.
I can't believe we're having the conversation about Tedesco. I thought, look, again, yeah, he slipped over a few times. He could have passed on occasions where he, you know, but in regards to trying, if every player tried like Teddy, we're not sitting here with this scoreline, I'll tell you right now. And again, like,
The other thing as well,
I think we are quick to forget the good that certain people do. Like, look at what Tedesco's done through his career. Okay, he wasn't at his best. Join the queue.
You got some points in the bank.
Mate, come on.
But
Dylan Edwards, yeah, he might be playing great. He might be playing great for Penrith and has done for the last couple of years. But come on, you're talking about.
Oh, don't worry.
You're talking about Brad Hodge versus Ricky Ponting. Give me a break.
Don't
come on.
Give us a call, 1353 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. Just a great result at the French Open this morning for Tanasi Kokkinakis. He's won in five sets against Stan Wawrinka to go through to the third round. Carlos Alcaraz, the top seed, has won in four sets against his Japanese opponent, Taro Daniel, as well there this morning. We'll speak to Roger Rashid later this morning. The Europa League final is on at the moment as well, between Sevilla and Roma, and Roma leading 1-0 early in the second half. But 26-18 last night, Queensland over New South Wales in front of 48,613 at Adelaide Oval. And just a bit more of your say on the text line here. Morning, gentlemen. I can't stand these people turning on our own players. It happens every year. Making them feel not wanted by their own state isn't going to fix it. It does my head in. Come on, Blues. No name to that one. Freddie relied purely on the Panthers combinations only. Left Young off for second half. No plan for Hines. Absolutely no idea. Instead of meditating barefoot on grass, he needs to fire these boys up, says Chapo. Hey, boy, who's a shattered Blues fan, I think you should give mention to Liam Martin. He was brutal, put his body on the line for the Blues. He was what they need, says Bill. Hi, guys. Can it just be stated that when it comes to State of Origin, Queensland just have something New South Wales don't? As good as Nathan Cleary is, when it comes to Origin, he might not be the man for it, unfortunately. There's not much else out there.
Wow.
Scott in St. Mary's sending that one to us. So, yeah, it's a lot here. But we've got some calls. We've got, we'll start with, is it Shane? Morning, Shane.
Shane, very flat.
Good morning.
Very, very flat, isn't it, this morning?
Very, Shano, very. I think we were expecting a better performance, and when we got in front, I was expecting us to hold on.
Look, boys, we're going to tear it apart over the next 2 weeks, and I always thought from day one, Cookie and Nico should have been there, but that'll be dissected over the next 2 weeks. But the thing what I can't understand, and I was talking about it, we were watching it with the game last night with a few of the boys, the best front row in the world, Payne Huss, he absolutely tears it apart every week, averages 65 minutes, was causing havoc last night, rumbling through the middle. Fittler only played him for 31 minutes. What's going on there?
I don't know actually how many minutes he played last night. I'll take your word on it, Shane. 31 minutes. I thought he played a bit more than 31.
Oh, I'm seeing 50.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I thought he played a few more minutes than 31. Look, mate, I just think that when they went wide, they just didn't get the same time and space that they're used to in clubland. You know, Payne Haas got through plenty of work. I don't know whether the Penguy Junior experiment worked. Hudson Young only played 30 minutes, then was taken off, never came back on. But I think Liam Martin has to be there to start in game two. I thought he was terrific. We just sort of lacked that sort of aggression I thought early, and you know, and you can be aggressive in a lot of different ways, but just carrying the ball, Liam Martin was really aggressive. And there'll be some talk about, you know, whether he comes into the starting side and all that type of stuff. But Payne Haas, he plays well at Clubland. We haven't seen him at his best in Origin. You make a fair point. But I think with the other guys, you just got to, some of them, you've got to get on the field. Like Cam Murray, I think he needs to spend a bit more time on the field too. I know you can't put more than 13 on there, but I think they seriously may have to look at their team again and see how they fit some of these players in and get the best out in them.
Loz, look, there's one thing I don't understand. You look at the American sports, the baseball, the basketball, the hockey. They've got best of three, best of five, best of seven series. If they struggle in the first game, they make changes. Why are we so scared to make changes? We should be thinking outside the box. Mm. And if it doesn't work in the first game, and we're desperate. We haven't beaten Queensland, beaten them there and won a series when it's the decider on in Brisbane. We have to make changes. We have to think outside the box. Nico's got to come in to straighten up the attack, and Cookie's got to be there in the middle of the ruck to hit and go from dummy half. You can see it. Anybody can see it.
Yeah, I really like Cookie's speed out of dummy half. But when you analyse the game, like, Appy played really well, I thought. I'd have to go back and look at it closely, but he got through a mountain of work. And, you know, he gave really good service at times. But you're right in what you say. Sometimes we tend to not make changes because you've stuck with these blokes for game one. You know they're going to be better in game two. If you just throw it all away and start again with another 17, you're coming from behind again because you're looking at getting a whole different set of players in and then spending the week trying to get used to how you want to play. So it's a big decision for the coaches and the selectors to make. And there'll be some changes. There will be changes, but we'll work out which ones they're going to be. And the guy in the firing line at the moment seems to be Teddy.
Thanks, Shane. As always, just on this text, thoughts, pal, or too slow, bring in the Raider Horsburgh. Corey Horsburgh is a Queenslander, so he won't be playing for New South Wales. And I like this.
Red dog.
Get the red dog in New South Wales jersey, Loz.
This one. Hi, boys. At least with the Blues losing, it's taken my Dragons out of the news for now, says Chris. Don't worry. They're coming up at some stage.
That's a good point, Chris. Leave my Tigers alone for a couple of days as well, would you?
Oh, gee, the Dragons didn't have a day yesterday. We'll get to that. Lee, morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, great, boys. Queensland, another win. Another year, another win. Shout out to my boss, Murph, who is probably going to give it to me this morning because New South Wales lost. But from a Queensland point of view, I think we won it in the first 30 minutes. That defence saved us like two or three tries. And I think that definitely gave us the platform from the game. But also from New South Wales, like the guy said before, it's a three-game series. They should have taken the gamble with Hines at the start. Lubalai wasn't playing that good of footy. And now you're down 1-0 and got to make changes. And I think Tedesco has earned his spot. Like Dale Cherry-Evans has had criticism of the past when we've lost game one, I'll get rid of him, blah, blah, blah. But then he's come out and killed it. I think from a fan point of view, I think Tedesco's definitely earned his spot.
I think he's got the runs on the board, Lee, Tedesco, but I can understand why you would question his performance last night because he was directly involved in Queensland's four tries. And when you break it down, he should have done better. But I thought he tried really hard, Teddy. And given the fact that he's been such a wonderful player, I think they will stick with him for game two. Yeah.
But where was like New South Wales' heart or like their defence the hard enough in that last 10 minutes? Like they've got an extra player. You'd be just going to those guys. When we went 12 down, I'm like, oh, I know we always come back, but this is a big mountain. But it was their own defence that cost them in that last 10 minutes. So this went, we've got this.
Yeah, it was a test of their mentality. And to stay up in the contest and have that same intensity that you would have had if you were facing 13. But obviously they dropped away with that intensity. And Queensland just rallied. Queensland take nothing away from them. They were superb. They didn't have the amount of possession New South Wales had. They were under the pump. They would have been fatigued there in the first half. They went to the break in front. And New South Wales, for mine, they left a few points out there because of the scramble defence. Murray Taulagi, what, saved two tries? Yeah. Two or three tries?
Yeah. Was that from Fede try a try, in your opinion? Like, I could see 50-50.
Tyson Frizzell.
I thought it was a try, but you couldn't see the ball touch the ground. So, I was happy enough for that to be let go.
I didn't think Appy's was a try. I thought that was a knock on.
Oh, the knockdown. Yep. Yeah,
I thought that was a knock on.
Yeah, I probably tend to agree with you there. In club footy, I reckon that's...
definite knock-on. In club land, yeah. No-brainer. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, they just scrambled well. They had more desire than New South Wales.
Well,
When it counted.
And thanks for your call, Lee. And on what exactly that point was, this text. Morning, gents. New South Wales lost in the effort areas. Imagine Payne Haas or Junior Powell or challenging a bomb against a fullback with a couple of minutes to go. The difference when all things are said and done...
That's a good point.
When all things are said and done, of course, it updates on me. But, he goes on to talk about exactly those effort areas. Here it is. Queensland effort to get to the ball is so much better than New South Wales always has been. Queensland want it more, in capital, says Sean from Campbelltown, New South Wales supporter. But, what a play from Lindsay Collins to ice the game.
He was good. Lindsay Collins off the bench. He carried the ball strongly. That effort to rise above Tedesco... you don't see too many front rowers do that. You know, they might push forward. Very rarely do they compete in the air. But to come down with it and then have offload the awareness to offload the ball to Munster, who was quiet and then injected himself into the game at the back end of that second half there, it just showed you that they were steaming home. They wanted it. Their desire was a lot higher than what New South Wales had at that particular moment. They should have iced the game. When you're in front and you've got an extra player on the field, you shouldn't be getting beaten.
Instead, we concede two tries. Joey was blowing up in the post-mortem on Channel 9 on that play. So look at, he's just run past five New South Wales players to get to that ball, Lindsay Collins.
Is Joey wonderful on the coaching staff? From New South Wales?
Yes.
Oh, he goes in as a consultant, is he? Or is he an official
attack coach?
Attack coach, yeah. Yeah, love Joey's passion, though. He takes the losses hard.
Yep.
Okay, just a couple of more texts here. Morning, boys. Are the old New South Wales chestnut? He's done enough to earn or keep his spot. This attitude will keep the mighty cane toads in the winner's circle for longer. Luai v. Hines, dumb. Cook, Coruscant v. Cook, dumb. And sadly, you fellas with the teddy glasses on can't see past the fact that trying end results are two vastly different things.
Yeah,
yes, he's a champion.
I got it.
And he has to be kept in check, but his past couple of games are not up to scratch. keep the norm so us toads can keep on singing. Love the show, boys. The Rusty Bunny. Sending that one through.
Yeah,
and,
Rusty Bunny. Harsh but fair. You're right. Trying doesn't...
it doesn't give you the victories. But no. If you've got to compete. And yeah. I think the thing with a guy like Tedesco, who's been a absolute star for New South Wales for a number of years, he's got money in the bank. Yeah. And that's sometimes always the hardest call to make.
Loz, do you honestly think there, if you're not, well, firstly, do you think his time's done? Because you're not dropping Tedesco and bringing him back. Once you're cutting him, he's done. His career at Origin level is done. Do you think his time's up?
No, I don't.
Yeah. And secondly, if you're going to drop someone, you've got to pick someone else. Yeah. Don't tell me, and I know nothing about State of Origin footy, don't tell me Dylan Edwards is a better player than James Tedesco at the highest level. Well, give me a break.
Well, if I'm making the change, it's not going. I'm not going Dylan Edwards.
Bring in another Panther.
I'm bringing in Latrell Mitchell.
Who definitely needs to come back in.
I'm playing him at fullback. If you're making a change at fullback, I'm not bringing Dylan Edwards in. That's me personally. Dylan Edwards is a wonderful player.
Agree.
But I've still got him behind Tedesco and Mitchell at this stage, at that level. So if you're making the change, I don't think I'm bringing Dylan Edwards
in. I reckon the problem New South Wales have with no-brainer, Luttrell. Don't tell me, like I've said the other day, don't tell me there's any sporting rugby league team that's a better team without Luttrell. We miss that X factor, 100%. He definitely comes in no-brainer. Who goes out? Because I thought Stephen Crichton played well.
Yeah, he did. He played real well.
I thought he played well. So I guess a lot will be determined by how Tommy goes as well with that head knock, how he recovers.
Well, Tommy won't play.
But is he going to get any footy
in? He won't get another game in. So Tommy might be under the pump. They might move.
And then what do they do
there? They might keep Tedesco and they might put Luttrell back into left centre and they might move Crichton to right side.
Mm.
All right.
So there's a
We missed Luttrell, though, last night.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Let's see what the market's doing ahead of game two. Jared Duffy from the Tab with the post-mortem in full swing. A very good morning to you.
Good morning to you all.
What's it looking like for game two at Suncorp?
It's looking rather good if you're a Maroon supporter. Actually, there was a lot of talk before the prices went up. It went up about 5 minutes after that match was completed last night. And, well, they were at a backable quote. Queensland opened at 180 and New South Wales were $2. So slight outsiders. And this morning it's changed somewhat. They're into $1.73. Queensland, New South Wales out to $2.10. The series, it's going to be difficult for New South Wales now, isn't it? They're $3.30 outsiders. And Queensland $1.33.
Just on that then, Daff, where do you see it, in a week and a half's time on the night of the game for game two? And you probably don't even know, but what's the shortest you can remember Queensland's ever been in an Origin?
I don't know. I'd have to look that up, Loz. At various stages, I think they've been around about that $1.30.
Have they been under $1.50?
Oh, yeah, they've been. Maybe only
even
once or
with
twice.
Those two times they were, yeah.
Once or twice before, but I think at those prices, I don't know whether it'll move a terrible lot because, as Clarkie just pointed out, Luttrell Mitchell comes back in. You've got the bounce back factor. I know that it's in Queensland, but we've seen in the past, Loz, that Queensland punters definitely shun away from backing them when they're favourites, and whilst they're only slight favourites. I think it'll be around about what it is now.
Well, they always thrive on the underdog tag, don't they?
Yeah. They do. They do. We've got the women's.
We keep giving it to them, though. How silly are we?
Yeah,
that was exactly amazing last night. Even at halftime, New South Wales were behind. They were still the favourites. We did have them at $1.90 take your pick just prior to halftime. And they were down by 4 points and they were backed into $1.85. So it was a game that fluctuated rather savagely. But in that last 10 or so minutes, I actually was so enthralled in, I didn't even have a look. But I'm assuming New South Wales got into a pretty short quote when Queensland were a man down. They've been able to do it again. We've got that women's State of Origin match on tonight. And New South Wales, $1.42 in that one, $2.80 for Queensland. We've got a line of six.
Come on, the girls.
Points.
Yeah, the girls.
Yeah,
come
they'll
on
win.
The girls. We
Surely
need them.
They'll win.
We need them.
Well, we hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to get something back.
Well, we know what we'll be talking about tomorrow morning.
Yeah, winners.
Exactly right. Winners and grinners.
Yeah, so, and obviously we had those matches already open for the weekend. There's been a few out of those. Today we'll find out who's in and who's out, but there's been a few moves for those looking to perhaps either have a bet or put their tips in, more importantly. New Zealand Warriors $1.60 into $1.43. Souths $1.50 into $1.40. Cronulla 165 into 152, and the Roosters 136 into 130. So what's that? Four of those five favourites have toughened up in the market.
AFL starts with Melbourne and Carlton. Carlton under the pump heading into this one, Daff.
And they've got a gazillion on their injured list. Oddly enough, they haven't really moved out, Jared. They're $3.10 outsiders. Melbourne $1.38, a line there of 16.5 points. So everything points towards a Melbourne win, but we've seen so many bizarre results in the AFL this season, you just wouldn't know what you're going to get there.
What about the NBA Game 1, the Nuggets taking on the Heat?
$1.25, the Nuggets, and the Heat, $1.26, and the Heat are $4. So that's in Game 1. The line there, 9.5 points, Loz. As far as winning the series is concerned, Denver $1.25, and the Heat at $4.
Thank you, Jared. Have a great day.
You too.
Some Aussies in action at the French Open overnight and this morning. Storm Hunter has gone down in three sets to Elena Svitolina after taking the first set. Unfortunately, defeated in 1 hour and 49 minutes. But Tanasi Kokkinakis in five sets has beaten Stan Wawrinka. And that was more than 4.5 hours on court. Also, Jason Kubler's been beaten in straight sets by Fabio Fognini. Carlos Alcaraz, the top seed, he's got through. Novak Djokovic is on court at the moment, and he's won the first set against Fucsovics of Hungary in a tiebreak, and he's just won the second set, 6-love. So Novak looking pretty good there. Paul Gauff coming up shortly. The Europa League finals, the other result, or the other match in progress between Sevilla and AS Roma. It's 1-1, 74th minute in that match this morning. Now, Gowie, you're coming up shortly, as I mentioned, and if golf is your game, get into Drummond Golf for Australia's biggest mid-year golf sale. You'll find great savings on golf equipment and clothing. Get tailor-made rocket balls, a soft 12-pack for just $17.95, or Wilson Deep Red Max Clubs, 12-piece package, save $300, now just $799. And Nike Air Zoom Victory Tour golf shoes, save $81.95, now $168. Don't miss Australia's biggest mid-year golf sale on now at Drummond Golf, but only while stocks last. 26-18 last night. Queensland over New South Wales at Adelaide Oval. And, yeah, I think I mentioned at the start, it just didn't have that edge, I suppose. The atmosphere was still, you know... It was a nice atmosphere, if I can put it that way.
It was a lovely oval, isn't it? Just a lovely oval.
Good venue. Great venue. But, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, it didn't have the intensity. It didn't have the intensity of a State of Origin. When you go to Lang Park or you go to a Sydney game where it's, you know, 80,000 at ANZ Stadium, 90,000 at ANZ Stadium, you can feel the buzz and hear the buzz, sorry. And you can just, you know that everyone's there and it's life or death, you know. And you're anticipating big hits. You're anticipating strong collisions, good entertaining football, people being, you know, picking themselves up when they've got nothing left to give. I think the stop-start nature of it too last night, there was no fatigue early. Usually the ball is in play. There's no penalties. It's just set for set. And then you see fatigue after about 10, 12 minutes. We didn't have that last night. There was a lot of penalties. There was a lot of stoppages. And I think that helped contribute to maybe that atmosphere not building, if you know what I mean. Because you'd be up and then it'd stop. There'd be a flat spot during the game. So for me, I thought it was great that nearly 50,000 people turned up. But it just didn't have that vibe.
Gee, there had to be a bourbon or two dealing with that result last night, Gowie. Good morning, mate. How are you?
Oh, yeah. It's so hard to watch when that happens. Bloody Queenslanders. Because you know you're going to get it from them today and last night. And I've got Queenslanders all around the world that just text me. And I turn my phone off. It's disgraceful the way they carry on after they win.
They're not humble in victory, are they? Morning to all our Queensland listeners, by the way. Unlike only have to see our text line.
Oh, unlike us from New South Wales, to just take it on our chin and just move on after a victory. Not Queenslanders, not at all.
Now, the Australian Open this year, Gowie, back in Sydney, and we're going to see some changes.
Yeah, this is interesting. Last year was a debacle, actually. It didn't sort of work out the way Golf Australia wanted, where, you know, they had three tournaments in one. So the All Abilities, which I love, that the plays during the week of the Australian Open, which it has for the men's Australian Open for a number of years now. Then the women were added to it. They normally play in February. It was down in Melbourne at the Victoria Golf Club. Adam Scott he played really well, and the golf course really wasn't set up for him to win, which was a real disappointment because it was really soft and slow and to suit probably the women golfers and the All Abilities players. So there has been some changes where they had two cuts last year. There's only one cut with men and women. There's 156 players, 84 women playing in there. The All Abilities play from Thursday to Saturday. And they've guaranteed the players that the course will be set up. So that was one of the big talking points from the, the name players that were down there about the two cuts. So hopefully we get all our best players back playing, but I'm not sure. They weren't too happy, a lot of the men golfers, with that type of format. So fingers crossed we get them back. I know a lot of them are playing the Australian PGA Championships at Royal Queensland, but will they play in Sydney the week after? I hope so. We need all our best players back here and playing. So, the Australian Open, if you look at that trophy, it's got some of the best names on it. And as a kid growing up, that was the tournament you wanted to win. So I'll be interested to see what happens from this point.
Gary, what's Jack Nicklaus said about the LIV Tour?
Yeah, this is interesting stuff. Like, Jack is the legend and the best player with record to ever play the game. So, when he talks, we all listen. He sort of sat on the side of the PGA Tour because him, Gary Player, and Arnold Palmer really built the PGA Tour. They were the three guys who are the backbone of the history of the place and have set up for all players that have come through that pathway to play for more money, to get better TV rights, to really, forge a career. So he should have a voice too, but it was an interesting one this week at his event, which is Memorial in Ohio, that he loves. He always gets a good field. This is an elevated event, so they're playing for $20 million this week. This is one of the 10 events. But interesting, in his presser, he said, "I don't even consider the guys part of the game anymore." So he was talking about the LIV players who don't play in PGA events, and he was talking about Cam Smith, Brooks, Phil, Bryson, and DJ. So it's quite sad that the best player in our game has been so divided with this. I think it's got to be coming at a time that they all sit down at a table and discuss, the future of this, because at the end of the year, when we've got the Ryder Cup, Brooks Koepka, who's, second at the Masters, won the PGA Championships, he's not even going to be considered for a spot at the Ryder Cup. So they really need to look at it, because that is the biggest event in golf. In our world of golf, that's it. So I'll be interested in the next couple of weeks or the next month or so to see how the PGA of America come about with their selection criteria, whether they allow LIV players in.
In a couple of weeks' time, we've got the US Open, Gowie. Have you got an early sort of lean heading towards that?
Yeah, I did a bit of work on this yesterday, and because it's a new golf course in the rotation, the LA Country Club, which is fantastic. I've played there just socially. It's a cracking golf course. It's one I would never have thought, because it's so private, this golf course, that they would allow, an Open Championships on there. But I think it's set up for somebody from California, which is Xander Schauffele. So I've already backed him at $21. I think he'll just be absolutely prime for this event and this golf course, because it's set up. It's not stupid long. You really got to be strategic. They've not got the room that Oak Hill had and bunch of the other golf courses. So this will be a golf course for somebody that can think their way around.
What about in the Memorial Tournament this weekend, Gowie? Who do you like?
Yeah, I successfully get this one wrong every year, because I go for the biggest hitter, I go for the guy who hits the most amount of greens, and I'm wrong every year. They've had Cantlay, he's won it a couple of times, and Ram, and they haven't been playing in form coming up to this event. Ram's played exceptionally well, that's why he's favourite. But I'm going with Sam Burns here at $41. He's a guy that's starting to play well. Doesn't quite fit the mould, hits the ball a long way right to left, and Ricky Fowler, so at $41 is my roughie. So he's been playing better since he's got a new coach. He left Butch Harmon, and he's gone and got a new coach, and seems to be playing a lot better. We've got five Aussies in there, and David Michelucci, who won our Order of Merit in Australia, good kid from Melbourne. He's got another big game there. If he has a good week, he could get conditional status. If he has a top five, he can really cement a place on the US Tour. So I can't wait to see him play.
Thank you, Gowie. Have a great
Thanks,
day.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy your trip home on the private jet.
Clarkie's private jet.
You're welcome anytime, Gowie.
All right, I'm on. I'll bring the beers or the bourbon. Beautiful.
Paul Gow there. We've got Adam Pengilly coming up shortly. I love these two contrasting texts. Morning, guys. It is with relief that I send you this text. Given the tone of your correspondence this morning, you may not believe this, but despite New South Wales' loss last night, the sun is just starting to come up here on the far south coast of the state. Cheers, Steve. And
well said, Steve.
The text straight under it says, after 43 years as a loyal Blues supporter, I'm done.
Oh,
I
no.
can no longer bear
oh,
the continual
no.
disappointment. Queensland no. show more commitment, desperation, effort in all areas. It's undeniable, Loz. Queensland are just more passionate in all areas of Origin football. I'm out.
I'm moving.
Says Lurch.
I'm moving to Noosa.
Lurch.
I'm out,
Stay
boys.
Strong.
Nah, I'm with you, Lurch. I'm out. I'm moving to Noosa. I'm wearing my Queensland jersey for game two. I'm no, out, boys.
Mate, you'll be out if you say that again.
You will be brushed.
Mate, it's a game. We got beaten. That's exactly what happens in sport.
Yeah, and
we get up and we play better in game two. Do the impossible. Everyone now is saying we can't win in Brisbane. We can't win in Queensland. Change the word can't. Win in Queensland.
All right, your moment will be coming up. If we get rolled for 60 in the Ashes,
mate,
again,
it happens. You're gonna been there, done that. Been bowled out for 47. Got a golden duck. It does. It happens in sport. I do love the passion you see on the text line, though. It's a great indication because you feel it as a player as well. You feel that disappointment when you let the team down, when you don't make runs, when you make decisions that cost the team, you know, that game, that series. Like, you feel how our listeners, what they write in those text messages, I promise you from a player's perspective, you feel the exact same thing. You know if you've played bad. You know if you've let the team down. So, trust me, use Teddy as an example, especially when you're captain. Mate, there will be no one more disappointed than him this morning. I promise you right now. So, everything they're saying, if you think that the players don't feel it, you're 100% incorrect. You feel it.
Lots more Origin to come. Pengilly, Yvonne Sampson coming up soon. But we've got to mention what happened yesterday at the Dragons, fellas. Denny Widler broke the story that Jason Riles, the now former Roosters assistant coach, because that's all over there at the Roosters for him. So Jason Riles has turned down the Dragons job. He's off to the Melbourne Storm next year, at the start of next year.
Wow.
Where naturally he'll be in a position to succeed Craig Bellamy, whenever that is.
Wow.
He hasn't been guaranteed that, is that right?
No. It's just in a development pathways job. There
Surely
the
he's
Storm.
Been guaranteed.
You'd want to hope so, wouldn't you?
Well, he's not knocking back a first grade coaching job to go down in a pathways role to Melbourne. I wouldn't think.
You could imagine Melbourne would be very, want to be circumspect though about saying, you know, he's definitely got the job.
Wow.
Or do they just come out and say, no, this is the succession plan?
Well, I think that's what everyone's reading into it.
Without a doubt.
I'm certainly reading into it that Jason Riles is the next coach of Melbourne.
And
not many people would knock back a head coaching position to go to a pathways position at another club. Unless you weren't guaranteed
the job down the track.
Down the track. That's exactly right.
And
was the job down the track not there for him at the Roosters?
No, well, not at the
Trent
Roosters.
Robinson.
Yeah, if Robbo decided to go, is there,
I
was
think he's
he not
a long-term deal? I think Robbo's
he's more chance at Melbourne. He's 1 year away at Melbourne.
Yeah, and Bellamy versus indicated that he's going to go 1 more year.
But what a season for an assistant coach. You're leaving a club because you're about to be head coach, and then you've actually gone down to Melbourne to a second club to be assistant, or in a pathways role.
Yes.
It's a busy month for Jason, put it that way.
A very busy month. Plenty of discussions have taken place.
So how did the Roosters, he's broken a contract. He's broken his Roosters contract.
So the Roosters have let him go,
To be in a pathways job in Melbourne.
And give up $800,000 a season to coach the Dragons, were the numbers reported by James Hooper at Fox yesterday. But Phil Gould, last week on 100% Footy, he predicted this. He said, I don't think he's going to the Dragons.
Well, he was having discussions with Rolls. So he obviously knew about those discussions. So he knew the concerns that Rolls had. And I'm sure that Riles would have spoke to Gus about the opportunity of going to the Dragons compared to the opportunity of going to Melbourne. And they've probably sat down and thought about it and thought, well, in the best interests of my career, that's the path I should be on, rather than jumping straight into a head coaching role at the Dragons.
Can somebody explain me? Okay, so did the Roosters, obviously, they didn't want him anymore as assistant coach?
No, well, they were
disappointed. Why is it an assistant coach? Like, how's he Why does he not have the conversation with the Dragons about the head coach role? Work out if he wants that. If they come to that agreement, then he goes to the Roosters to discuss the opportunity he has. It seems like it's been the other way around. Like, he's pretty much...
Trevor Robinson's 46. He's going nowhere.
Yeah. What I'm saying is it seems like he made the decision that he was going to the Dragons before he said yes to the Dragons. Because if he has the conversations behind closed doors about the Dragons, that doesn't work out for him. Then he stays in his role.
Yeah, no one needs to know.
No one needs to know. I don't understand why. It seems like he said yes to the Dragons, told the Roosters. Now he said no to the Dragons. The Roosters are saying, bad luck, mate. Jam it.
Well, the Roosters are filthy because the last assistant coach they had, Adam O'Brien, said that he'd stay and fulfill his commitment.
And left.
And left.
And now Jason Rolls done the same thing.
And Rolls, he's done the same thing. So the Roosters have gone, hey, we don't want assistant coaches here if they're not prepared to stick it out. They're happy for them to go and get first grade jobs, but the commitment was, well, you stay here for 2-3 years, whatever the length of the contract was. So I think that's where the Roosters got their nose out of joint.
Well, Adam Pengilly from the Sydney Morning Herald, someone had a win here who's not a Queenslander yesterday, because into summertime, his tip at Warwick Farm saluted. Double figures as well, if you don't mind. Adam, good morning to you, mate.
Morning, boys. How are we all recovering from last night? I am still speechless after that final 10 minutes last night. Very hard to stomach for a New South Wales fan.
How did we lose it?
We can't lose those games, Loz. How do you lose when you're leading with 10 minutes to go playing against 12 men? You just have to win those games. You have to win
those
games.
And two tries scored against you.
Exactly. And one on a shift from inside their own half, and another one where a prop out leaps our fullback. Like, you know, I couldn't believe what I was watching last night, Loz. I'm sure you're probably feeling the same when you're watching that final 10 minutes. But to be fair, I don't think New South Wales played very well at all. And full credit to Queensland. I know this show goes all throughout Queensland. We've got to pay our credits to them. They were enormous in the moments that really mattered. But if New South Wales wanted to win this series, they had to win a game like that last night in those circumstances. And to throw that away in the last 10 or 12 minutes, it's just not good enough. I stand by my comment yesterday. I think they'll be much better in games 2 and 3 of the series, and I can still see them improving and doing well enough to potentially win in Brisbane. I know a lot of people will laugh at that comment, but you've also got to say that Queensland didn't play great as well last night, and there's so much more improvement left in them too, Loz.
No, when you break down the game, like it's like Queensland dominated the opening 10 and the last 10. And New South Wales had every reason to be in front and well in front, but they just couldn't do it. Queensland's scramble defence was excellent. Our attack at times was just not great. It was frantic early. We weren't able to build pressure. There was no fluency in attack. We were trying to put on these nice little set plays, and I don't know, just it never worked. And Queensland's outside men were rushing, putting us under pressure. They were stopping us in our tracks, and it looked at times we just didn't know how to break them down.
Yeah. It's a worry given how much possession we had. I had a quick look at the stats after the game last night, Loz, and I'm not joking you, every single stat New South Wales dominated, possession, you know, run meters, time in opposition half, time in opposition 20, all of that stuff. And then you look at the scoreboard at the end of the game and we lost.
The one that matters, Adam.
Exactly.
The stat that matters. Who won and who lost?
Yeah. So it's going to take an enormous effort to turn this around in 3 weeks' time to win up there.
Who's
in Brisbane.
The firing line then, mate?
Oh, yeah, it's a good question, Lyle.
mate, the text line is going off today, and the number one target seems to be the skipper.
Yeah.
Who I thought tried extremely hard too, by the way.
He did. But I thought Gus made a really good point on the post-game coverage last night, and I appreciate you guys probably wouldn't have been able to see it. It might have been Joey, actually, saying that, you know, Teddy's getting his hands on the ball so many times. He's playing almost like an extra forward, but he needs to start linking with his halves in those good ball areas, in attacking plays. And I didn't see him linking up with Cleary and Luai very much at all last night. With all that,
but they know that before they pick him, though.
That's true.
And they train like that. Oh, well, I'm assuming they must train like that. And so Teddy doesn't play the way they want him to play, or is that selection issue?
Yeah, good point. I think he probably, that's just his game style, isn't it? He wants to get his hands on the ball 1 and 2 off the ruck.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. That's the way he plays. So that's the way he's either been training, or they've got him to do a specific role at training and he hasn't followed those instructions during game night.
Yeah, and one thing that came out of camp in the last 10 days was that they'd done so much work on defence in the build-up to game one. They prioritised that, Freddie prioritised that to make sure they're going to be really steely in defence, but it looks like their attack just was not working whatsoever. So even look at the two tries they scored in the second half. They were both really scrappy tries. A Coruscant one, which I'm still not convinced was a try, to be honest, and then one off a kick as well. So when you really break it down, New South Wales just had no fluency whatsoever in attack. They need Latrell back. I think that's an absolute given. If he's fit, he's got to come straight back into the team. I'd love to see them use Cam Murray more effectively, Loz. I just don't know if they're getting the best out of Cam Murray in that New South Wales setup at the moment. He's sort of coming off the bench and playing a bit of a role through the middle, and I'm not quite sure he's really playing to his absolute strengths at the moment. So how they get the best out of him, and if I'm going to be honest, the Tevita Pangai Jr. experiment did not work last night. I know he tried hard. He tried to bring a bit of fire and brimstone, but he gave away or made a couple of really crucial errors. That penalty in the first half when Hudson Young was trying to strip the ball one-on-one and Tevita didn't notice and came in as the second man in the tackle and gave away the penalty. And then obviously that offload in the second half, which led to the Selwyn Cobbo try, which put Queensland back in front. That were two really crucial mistakes. So whether he retains his spot for game two or not, I'm not too sure. I wouldn't expect Freddie to make mass changes, Loz. I don't know what you think about that, but I reckon there'll be a couple of changes to be made in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, I don't think he will. Although, you know, I wasn't expecting Tevita Pangai Jr. to be there in game one either. But I suppose the talk will be in and around Tedesco and whether you move Latrell back to fullback or whether you put him straight back into the centres. But I actually thought Stephen Crichton was very good last night for us.
Yeah, he was. I thought he had one of his better games, and I thought his defence was relatively solid, and he looked a little bit dangerous in attack. So, but let's be honest, Latrell's fit. He's coming back in. And I know there's going to be
Where are you playing him?
I'm playing him in the centres, for sure. I have to play him in the centres. I don't know if I could play him at fullback. I know there's going to be question marks about Tedesco, but geez, I tell you what, do you really drop your captain, like who's been so good for you for so many years now? I know he hasn't been in great form this year. I understand that. Geez, it would be a brave, brave call to make a move on him.
What about Nico? We always had our concerns about how do you fit him into the game, and that's exactly how it panned out last night.
Yeah, Orange is a 17-man effort, it was. You know better than most that it is. You need every single person to make some sort of contribution, especially if you're going to beat a strong Queensland team like that. And they've been going with this two-hooker policy for a number of years now. It suits their game style. It suits them to a T. We seem to have a guy on the bench just to cover in case of an emergency. And I get that. You want someone who can cover a few different positions, but you need to get more than 11 or 12 minutes out of your 17th player, don't you? Like, you need to get some more contribution. If Tommy T didn't get that HIA last night, was Nico getting in the game?
It was hard to get him on.
Where was he going to play?
I agree with you. The only thing I would say, in particular over the last two or three years, with the amount of instances people get sent to the HIA, well, for a HIA, you're probably in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, I can go with four forwards, but early in the game, if I get an outside back ruled out, that's going to leave us short. So we've got to have someone there as cover, but it's one of those rolling of the dices that you make as a coach, I suppose, that you just go, well, we're going to have someone there. But everything you say is true. I don't know how you get him into the game last night.
Just a quick comment before you go, Adam, on the situation at the Dragons.
Can you believe it, Jared? Can you believe what happened yesterday? You're right, Danny Widler had the news first yesterday morning that Jason Riles had turned down a four-year offer from the Dragons to take up this role within the Storm system. They did a press conference yesterday for another promotional thing. Early yesterday morning, Ryan Webb and Andrew Lancaster, the chief executive and chairman, and they were asked about the Riles thing, and their impression was, and the comments were, that everything was still going well. And then half an hour later, it all gone belly up. They got the phone call, and Jason Riles wasn't going to the Dragons. I've written in the Herald today that it was a phone call made to Isaac Moses yesterday morning to sort of inquire about Shane Flanagan still from the Dragons. So I think he comes back into the picture somewhere. We know that Dean Young and Ben Hornby were the other two in the frame, along with Jason Riles last week. I believe the Dragons officials met Dean Young last week while he was in Sydney with the Cowboys before they played their game against Parramatta. They've just got to get it right, Jared. I don't know what the right answer is, but you know, it's not a good look for the club, is it? When your number one coaching target, you're giving him a four-year deal, you're pretty much giving him...
I reckon blessing in disguise.
Well,
Adam,
it might be. And the one thing about a guy like...
blessing in disguise.
Lucky, the one thing about a guy like Shane Flanagan, he's not going to sit there and want a 4-year deal. He'll just say, "I want just give me 2 years. I'll do my best in 2 years to turn this club around."
He's got experience. He's been there before. He has not got the time to sit there and waste. He doesn't expect any fan, any board member to go, "Rightio, if we don't perform, keep me." He's get in, do the job now. As soon as you sign that contract, you are accountable. I reckon it's going to be a blessing in disguise for them.
Well, we'll talk about this more with Vonnie. We're very late. It's 7:03. Adam Pengilly, thank you so much. Have a good day.
See you, boys.